Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 1 through 14, and chapter 40, verses 1 through 6. Godly Jeremiah's deliverance amid ungodly Jerusalem's destruction. God called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by political opposition that seeks to cause God's servants to cease being able to do his work. Jeremiah 39, 1 to 14, in chapter 40, verses 1 through 6, reports on godly Jeremiah's deliverance amid ungodly Jerusalem's destruction. Passages that offer a lesson for our insight, our application, and edification. I'd like to read the passages and then we'll look at them. Jeremiah 39, 1 to 14, and then we'll skip over to chapter 40, verses 1 to 6. 39, verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. Actually, they breached the wall. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat on the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharitzer, Shamgar-Nebo, Sarshachim, Rabsaris, Nigal-Sharizer, Rabmag, and all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when King Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. And he went out by way of the plain. But the Chaldeans, or the Babylonian army, pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, which is way up north, where he passed judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. The Babylonians burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city and those that fell away, that they fell to him, with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left to the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him, look well to him, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto you." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nabashan, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the kings and Babylon's princes. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Hekam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. We skip down to chapter 40, verse 1. The word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, "The Lord your God has pronounced this calamity upon this place. Now the Lord has brought it, and has done according as he has said, because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now, behold, I release you today from the chains which were upon your hand. If it seemed good unto you to come with me unto Babylon, come, and I will look well after you. But if it seems ill unto you to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, the entire land is in front of you. Whether it seems good or convenient for you to go, go there." Now, while he was not yet gone back, he said, "Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient unto you to go." So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward. He gave him some food and some money and let him go. And Jeremiah went unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam to Mizpah, which is about 8 miles north of Jerusalem, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. This is a study in tremendous contrast. Ungodly Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, leaving the city and its inhabitants in a state of destruction. After besieging Jerusalem for over a year and a half, the Babylonian army breached the city wall, and all the princes of King Nebuchadnezzar came through the breach and sat in the authority, as the authority of the city. You'll notice in Jeremiah he's called Nebuchadrezzar, and in other passages he's called Nebuchadnezzar. The N sound and the R sound are actually interchangeable in a lot of these languages, and so we really think his name was Nebuchadnezzar, so that's why I'm saying Nebuchadnezzar. But sometimes they spell it as Nebuchadrezzar. It's something about the Semitic languages. The N and the R can often switch places. When Judah's king Zedekiah and his warriors saw it, they fled by night by way of the king's garden in the southern tip of the city and tried to climb over the Mount of Olives, headed towards the Jordan, in order to flee over to Rabbah in Ammon, east of Jordan, for protection. Now the Babylonian army pursued and caught Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. Then they took him up north to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar passed judgment on him for not submitting to him. Nebuchadnezzar slew Zedekiah's sons and his nobles in front of him, then put out his eyes, bound him with chains, and carried him off to Babylon. The picture here is of the last thing that he would see is the slaughter of his sons, the slaughter of his nobles. And then they put his eyes out so he wouldn't forget that. It was seen as an ultimate punishment. So the Babylonians then burned the king's palace, they burned the city, they broke down the city walls before taking the remnant of the people captive to Babylon. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poorest of the people in the land to work the vineyards and the fields. The Babylonians, when they took over a nation like this, they didn't want to eradicate everything because then the wild animals would take over. They still had problems with bears and lions in those days. But he left the poorest of the people who weren't going to give him any trouble to be in the land to work the fields. And also they would get tax money off of that. So that's why they left them there. Well, in tremendous contrast, the godly prophet Jeremiah experienced God's deliverance. Nebuchadnezzar had heard of Jeremiah and his message that Jerusalem and her king should surrender to him. So he had ordered Nebuzaradan, the captain of the Babylonian guard, to take Jeremiah and look after him, doing him no harm, and even to do what Jeremiah directed Nebuzaradan to do. Now, Nebuzaradan is the head of this huge army that's taken in, and Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, give him, you know, treat him well. If he wants to do something other than what you suggest, you let him. Now, this is very different from the plight of Zedekiah, wasn't it? Zedekiah was taken prisoner, he was tortured, and his children were slain and everything, but Jeremiah is treated royally. And Jeremiah had warned Zedekiah, you're supposed to go out and surrender. If you go out and surrender, nothing's going to happen to you. But if you don't, you're in trouble. Well, from Jeremiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, we learn that the process of Jeremiah's release involved the Babylonians first taking him out of the court of the prison in chains, along with the other Hebrews, to be screened at Ramah, which was 5 miles north of Jerusalem, where Jeremiah was later released. The reason they would do that is the city site itself was a hot spot, and there could be soldiers that were hiding there, and the Babylonians didn't want to have to do some last-minute skirmishes there in the city. So they would take all the prisoners out and take them away for a period of, you know, where there's a peaceful place out there, and then they would process them. They would go through, find out what their names were, who they were, and whatnot. So Jeremiah was taken with all the other prisoners initially up to Ramah. Ramah's about 5 miles north of Jerusalem. Well, Nebuzaradan, with Babylon's other officials, sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, committed him to Babylon's new puppet governor of Judah, named Gedaliah, a grandson of godly Shaphan, who had helped Judah's past godly king of Josiah. Now, it's interesting, 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 to 22. This is Shaphan who had found the copy of the law in the temple. And Shaphan had notified King Josiah about it. And Josiah had read it, and they had repented. Now, the Lord had promised that he would bless people to the second and third or the thousandth generation of those who feared him. And so Gedaliah was the grandson of this godly Shaphan, and the Babylonian king set him up as the puppet governor of Babylon. So it shows how God is faithful. He takes care of the children and the children's children of those who revere him. That's a biblical principle, incidentally. Then Nebuzaradan took Jeremiah aside and told him that the tragedy that had befallen his nation had occurred as punishment for Judah's sins against God. Now, that's a remarkable statement. This is a pagan man. He's a general of the army that's come in, and he's killed all these people and taken them captive. And he takes the prophet of Jeremiah, says, and the reason this has happened is because your people disobeyed your God. Wow. You know, he should have been preaching to Zedekiah long before himself. It's amazing the insight that God gave to this pagan man. Well, he then released Jeremiah and gave him the choice of coming back to Babylon with him, where he would take care of Jeremiah, or of remaining in Judah. Then Nebuzaradan changed his mind, suggesting that Jeremiah go and live under Babylon's new puppet governor, Gedaliah, and dwell there in support of his rule, or to go wherever he wanted to go. Nebuzaradan gave Jeremiah some money as a parting gift and released him. See, Nebuzaradan said, you know, Jeremiah tried to get the former people to submit to us. He's good for us, so why don't you go back to Gedaliah? That way you can influence him to stay submissive to us. We don't want any more problems with Judean rulers. We want them to submit. If they submit, fine. We're not going to leave them alone. Well, he gave him some money as a parting gift and he released him. Notice the contrast with Zedekiah. Tremendous. Jeremiah heeded Nebuzaradan and traveled 3 miles north from Ramah, where he had been released to live in Mizpah, where Gedaliah's center of rule had then been located. It's interesting, Jeremiah had told the people in Jeremiah 29:4-7 that he had written a letter to the Babylonian, the Jews who were in Babylon, said, look, it's the will of God for you to be in Babylon. So what you need to do is to be supportive of the king that is there and look well to the city and pray for the welfare of that city, because as goes the welfare of that city, goes your welfare. And you're going to be there for 70 years. So Jeremiah knew that it was the will of God to submit to the Babylonians. So he gets a suggestion from Nebuzaradan. Even though Nebuzaradan said you can go wherever you want, Jeremiah is listening to the will of God. Okay, that's what the recommendation of the Babylonian general is. I'm going to follow his advice because that's the will of God. So that's what he did. So he went back to live at Mizpah, where Gedaliah's center of rule was then located. So there's a huge lesson here. Where Judah's king Zedekiah, his soldiers, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem disobeyed the word of the Lord through God's prophet Jeremiah, only to suffer harm, captivity, and the destruction of their homes, Jeremiah was released. He was honored. He was given some money and granted full freedom to go wherever he wanted to go. The divine judgment of Jerusalem for sin and the divine reward of Jeremiah for obedience were thus greatly contrasted. And that's something I picked up in the commentary. It's very strong in that as well. Several applications here. Number one, may we not disobey God and face discipline, but obey him to see him bless us even in hard times. It's interesting. God is sovereign. And even if there's a hard time, and this was a hard time because this is a capture and there was a slaughter of many people, but even in that hard time, God saw to it that he provided for his godly prophet. Now, the stunning insight of Babylon's pagan official in telling Jeremiah that Jerusalem's sin had led to its fall reveals God's huge sovereignty over all men. So we should then obey the Lord for blessing. The Lord of hosts, the word host is actually armies in Hebrew. And God, when he's referring to Israel and he's trying to warn her about the fact that the Gentiles come in, he says, I'm the Lord of hosts. I run the armies of the Assyrians. I run the armies of the Babylonians. Watch it, because I can use them to punish you if you don't obey me. So God is sovereign, and he demonstrated his sovereignty over Nebuzaradan here. It's amazing. So he heeded Nebuzaradan's suggestion, but we need to obey the Lord for blessing. Now, Jeremiah knew that God wanted Babylon then to rule over Judah's people, according to Jeremiah 29:4-7. So he heeded Nebuzaradan and suggested to go and live under Gedaliah and Mizpah. So we should always submit to the will of God as he reveals it. And four, God arranged for the grandson, that's Gedaliah, of the good man Shaphan. Shaphan had given, sired Ahikam, and Ahikam had sired Gedaliah. So God arranged for the grandson of the good man Shaphan, who had helped godly Josiah to rule. So being upright bodes well even for our children. God has a tendency to protect and to guide and provide for those who are godly. I remember when Solomon had gone actually into idolatry, and the prophet of the Lord came to him and warned him. He says, I'm not going to destroy Jerusalem. I'm not going to destroy your kingdom and your era out of deference for your father, David. But after you pass, I'm going to break. So, and it's interesting, as the descendants of David go on down the line, God says, I'm going to leave a light for myself in the city because of David, my servant. This goes on for generation after generation after generation. It's very, very important to obey the Lord. And if we do that, he will bless us.